Hey, you want that to go?
For our first takeout today, we're going to turn to Afghanistan. 15,000 NATO and Afghan troops are in the third day of an assault in the town of Marja in the southern portion of Afghanistan. And we're wondering, what do Afghan civilians think of Operation Mushtarak? That means together in the local Dari language. And we've got Amal Pasarli. He's editor at the BBC's Pashto service with us. They broadcast inside Afghanistan. Good morning, Amal.
Morning.
So it's significant that they're calling this Operation Mushtarak for a couple reasons. Number one, the name is not English. And the number two, they chose to do it in the Dari language.
Dari and Pashto. It might be significant on paper, but in practice and also for the local people, it doesn't mean anything, because normally local people are just calling any operation as operation rather than calling them by name.
So they don't make any distinction between this offensive in Marja than they have from any of the others?
Definitely not. And as far as the Mushtarak bit or the togetherness bit is concerned, when we speak to local people in Marja area of Helmand, they all they're worried about is that whether after the operation there will be foreign and Afghan troops there, or they will just leave like before and it will be back to square one.
Are they cynical about calling this the operation together?
No, I mean, as I said, people are not worried about the titles of operations. Ordinary people in Helmand, all they are seeing in the past 8 years are operations after operations, military operation after military operation. And in the past, what happened is that after a week or 2 week operation, a lot of civilian casualties, a lot of other damages, and then the foreign troops with the Afghan troops, they left the area back, and the Taliban went back to the area and it went to square one. So this is the more important issue for the local people rather than what the operation might be called.
Amal Pasarli is the editor at the BBC's Pashto service. Thanks, Amal.
All right, now a money takeout from Wall Street. The markets are closed today for the President's Day holiday, but there's still some money news from down on Wall Street from Luis Story from our partner, the New York Times. Last week, we discussed the trouble that European economies were facing. Well, it turns out that after a little bit of investigating, that same shady Wall Street tactics that pushed our economy into the subprime mortgage crisis may have contributed to economic woes overseas as well. Luis, good morning.
Good morning.
So you had a front page story in the Times yesterday, Sunday. You trace Greece's economic problems back to the 90s and a desire to get into the Eurozone, the European Economic Cooperative. Go from there.
So there were very strict rules for countries to get in. If you remember, there were several shifts of countries getting in. They didn't all enter at once. Because at the root, Europe has economies that are of varying strength. They're not all that strong. Some are stronger than others. Greece was one of the weaker economies. They had to meet the rule that you could not have your deficit larger than 3% of your gross domestic product. And so what Greece did, as well as other countries like Italy, is they worked with Wall Street on these complicated derivatives transactions that allowed them to borrow money, making themselves look better than they were, but the money they borrowed did not show up on their books as a loan. It showed up as a derivative. And so it was kind of a backdoor way to meet these EU rules.
And I might call that a shell game. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, that's a loaded term because This was legal.
Okay.
Everything they did was legal. They used derivatives. They used off-balance sheet vehicles. And certainly it's hard to say that you can blame Wall Street, because these Greek government officials and Italian government officials wanted these products. They sought them out. At its root, their economies are weak. They've overspent. But Wall Street certainly enabled this. They didn't force it, but they certainly enabled it. We talked about a Goldman Sachs deal with Greece in 2001, where they were able to hide a lot of the deficit, and Greece continues to pay money into that. It's been transferred to a special purpose vehicle now. Goldman's not involved. But Goldman went back to Greece as recently as this past fall in November and said, oh, you're in trouble again. You know, we can help you with some new financing vehicle that will lend to you pushing your problems off. It's kind of like homeowners who took money out of their house through home equity lines. That's very much what Greece did with these banking deals. They sold a lot of their future revenues, like their lottery revenues, and they did that to raise money now and look better than they really are.
All right, Louise's story of the New York Times. It looks like Wall Street may not have learned its lesson after helping Greece finance its debt.
For our last takeout, let's go to California. The Hollywood sign is covered up with a sheet. The sheet says, Save the Peak. And joining us now is Sam Hodder, who's the California State Director for the Trust for Public Land. Sam, why has your organization covered up the Hollywood sign with a sheet that says, Save the Peak?
So to call attention to a conservation opportunity that is truly once in a lifetime. The Trust for Public Land has been working to conserve natural spaces and improve parks and playgrounds, particularly in urban areas, for 37 years, and we've been doing so in Los Angeles in particular. And in working with the city of Los Angeles, we have secured an opportunity to acquire a really remarkable property. 138-acre Cahuenga Peak property is right in the heart of the city and includes an 1,800-foot peak and a ridgeline that extends three quarters of a mile right in the heart of the city, and it also forms the natural backdrop for the Hollywood sign. Now, that property was first bought by Howard Hughes in the 1940s for his then-girlfriend Ginger Rogers. He wanted to build her a spectacular Hollywood mansion. Well, the relationship ended and the house was never built, but the property stayed in his estate for a couple of generations and was sold finally in 2002 to some developers from Chicago who intended to build four mega mansions along the ridgeline and right behind the Hollywood sign.
And you have the opportunity now to pay $12.5 million for it. And Sam Hodder, it sounds like you have $7 million right now and you're still raising funds. Sam Hodder is the California State Director for the Trust for Public Land. Comes up, it turns out the one way to stem the tide of illegal immigration is to have a really bad recession. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes.